Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different. It's proactive. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Today's show is sponsored by Klondike Kate's Christmas Sleigh Bar. Enjoy Bud Light and Michelob Ultra Specials all football season at Klondike Kate's. Joining us now, as he does every Thursday at 3 o'clock, Sheil Kapadia of The Ringer. Sheil, how you feeling, brother?
Doing well. How you guys doing?
What up, Sheil? Happy to see you survived.
How was 2 hours
ESPN
with Elliot
last night?
Yeah, how was 2 hours with Elliot for you?
I mean, fantastic. I got to, you know, see what it's like to be you guys standing there. Now, I didn't have to do any of the hard part about going to breaks or taking. I just got to sit there and fire off takes for 2 hours. It was fantastic.
Well, Elliot led with his completely absurd take that it was quite obviously the right thing to go for it on fourth down at the end of the Packers game. You sat there and you listened to him do it, like give his reasoning for 5.5 minutes. Now, I know you believe the right thing to do is punt. What did you think of Elliot's argument?
Listen, I've known Elliot, I don't even know how many years now. It might be like 20 years. I've heard a lot of takes from Elliot over the years, so I was ready for that. I don't buy his take. I am generally the person saying, be aggressive. You don't always need to punt. Don't worry about the risk type thing. But the bottom line is you do the decision that gives you the best chance to win in that moment. And I thought that the move that would have given them the best chance to win was to punt. I would have been really curious if they lost that game because of that. Vic Fangio, ooh, I just feel like would have been the angriest guy in Philadelphia. I don't know who would have, someone would have felt that in the building, but luckily they came through and they won anyway.
What's funny is when some people said to me, well, he did it because he trusts his defense. And I was like, no. The trust the defense thing is to give them as many yards. Yeah. And the defense played lights out, essentially, that game. I just thought, even in the flow of the game, it didn't even. And one thing I thought you said last night that I agree with, it doesn't seem like there's any rhyme or reason to when they are aggressive and when they're not. I think one of Elliott's points is they win being aggressive. And then you say, well, why do they run the ball at 3rd and 9? Why don't they go for points at the end of the half? It just doesn't seem like there is a cohesive reasoning to when they're doing it and when they're not doing it.
Yeah, that's how I felt. And all these coaches have somebody, you know, in their headsets. It goes back to Doug Peterson. He had a guy that's telling them in these, you know, high stress right. situations, what gives us the best chance to win. And so I'm usually a guy who says, forget. My gut's always wrong. I don't know about you guys. Anytime I just make a decision with my gut, it's wrong. So like if I was in that situation, I would just say, all right, tell me what gives us the best chance to win and just do that. But yeah, with Sirianni, there is a little bit of inconsistency with how he manages the game sometimes where, like you said, you know, he is conservative at times throughout the course of a game in those examples. And then other times with the game on the line, he's going for it. So listen, he almost never loses. So at this point, I feel very stupid criticizing him for anything because all they do is win almost every game they play. But I do think that's a valid point.
So it was the best defensive game of the year for the Eagles. I think that what was pretty much clear. After you went back and went through it, how much of you How much of what they did there do you think is sustainable for the rest of the year?
I think the big thing is that pass rush. I mean, if that pass rush can look anything like it looked last week, then this is a defense worth getting really excited about. You know, it's something we've talked about for, I think, the last 2 years. You know, there were times last year where we looked at it in the regular season and we're like, you know, is this pass rush good enough? There are games where they're not really impacting the quarterback. And then, of course, they get to the playoffs and it looks unbelievable. And I think this year, before the Jalen Phillips trade, it's been up and down. There have been games where we go, yeah, the coverage is isn't great, but man, they're giving the quarterback so much time back there. I thought Jalen Phillips was incredible in that game. I couldn't believe how good he looked in his Eagles debut, and I think it just kind of gives everyone else a lift. Now Jalix Hunt is like your third defensive end. Moro Ojemo played great in that football game. Jalen Carter looks healthier, so I think all of a sudden now, I want to see it for more than one game, but I am excited at the prospects that this can be a pass rush that's one of the better ones in the NFL down the stretch here.
And it makes up for the, you know, Jaire Alexander is not going to be a solution at CB2. And if there's one thing that can help out that the secondary or that spot of the secondary, it's getting to the quarterback sooner.
Yeah, I almost wondered if they had a conversation, you know, before the trade deadline, and they're looking at all their options. All right, we could add a corner, we could add a nickel, we could add a pass rusher, and it's just like, you know, it's not going to be perfect. There's going to be a weakness somewhere. What's our best option? And I wonder if they looked at it and it did exactly what you said, Spike. Like, Adoree Jackson isn't going to turn into an All-Pro. Kelee Ringo's not going to turn into an All-Pro. But man, if we can rush the passer better, we can do some things on the back end with our safeties to protect that second cornerback. It might get, you know, it doesn't mean it's going to work every week. It could get exposed for sure. That is a weakness on the team. But I think it's a formula that could work for them.
I'm just wondering, is there going to be somewhat of a revolving door? Would you imagine they want to see Jacorian Bennett out there at some point, right?
I would think so. I keep waiting.
We haven't even got a chance to see him.
We haven't seen him, and Fangio's not exactly going, oh, this is my guy. You know, when he's asked about him, he's like, yeah, I don't know. He's barely played, so don't ask me about him. I didn't trade for him. So I think, you know, with Adoree Jackson, it's like they see a floor. You know, they're like, all right, he's going to set a floor where hopefully he's not losing the game for us,
right,
and then we can figure it out as we go. If he has a terrible game, even a terrible half, honestly, in one of these games, then they could make a change. I think we know at this point they probably don't want to go with Kelee Ringo. He kind of got his shot, and he didn't take it and run with it. So I think Adoree Jackson, maybe Jacorian Bennett, and then sort of the last resort, maybe not the last resort, just the other option would be Michael Carter at nickel and Cooper DeJean on the outside.
That certainly needs to be the last resort, Shill.
I agree.
It should be the last resort.
It seems like it is for Vic, too. Yeah. Vic has said a few times that, you know, he likes him where he is.
Yeah.
The offense did take a step back. You know, it felt like the offense that we were arguing about for weeks on end prior to the Minnesota game and the Giants game. How much of that was, you know, how much of that do you chalk up to weather? How much of that do you chalk up to the Packers playing well? And how much of that did you chalk up to the Eagles?
Yeah, I think the big thing to me is that they still want to be a running football team. And on first and second down, they're running the football at a really high rate. And before the bye, I know I thought, I don't know if you guys felt it too, that, hey, it feels like they're finding something with the run game. They're going under center. They're putting the sixth offensive lineman out there. And I was like, all right, this could lead to something. But it might have just been a one or two game sample. You know, the Giants' run defense is terrible. And so if you look at it on the whole here through 10 weeks, they're just not a great running team. And so what happens is they're running the football on early downs. They're not picking up good yards. And then they're putting themselves in tough situations. So one of two things needs to happen. Either one, you need to be a better running team on early downs, and maybe they will be as the offensive line gets healthier. Or two, you might need to change that up a little bit where you're not throwing it downfield on early downs, but can you just scheme up some easy 5-6 yard completions? You know, Jalen Hurts has been very accurate for the most part, because you saw at the end of that game specifically, the Packers were just firing downhill. I mean, their safeties were not worried about play action or anything like that. They were just firing downhill in the run game, and it led to a bunch of negative plays. So that's the big thing I see. It's sort of this philosophical challenge that they have where they say, we want to run the football. We're a running team. But then you look at it, and it's like, well, you're not really a good running team right now. So do you keep trying it, or do you do something else?
So Sunday night, we go from one Giant game to another Giant game. The Eagles host the Lions on Sunday night. I think they're still a 1.5 favorite. Specifically to this matchup, what do we have to worry about the most from the Lions on Sunday night?
I think it's their skill group on offense. It's just a totally different challenge than you saw last week with the Packers, where you looked around and go, all right, they got some decent players, but none of these guys are going to kill us. Well, the Lions have a bunch of just explosive threats. I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs might be the most explosive back in football this year. They've got Amon-Ra St. Brown, who is just third down, high leverage situations. He's in the slot. He's getting open. That's where they're going with the football. And then the big change that they made last week, Dan Campbell took over play calling duties for them. And one of the things he did was he got Jameson Williams very involved, who's kind of their explosive threat there on the outside, kind of their speed threat. So you throw in all those guys. Sam Laporta is probably a top five tight end in the NFL. They just have a lot of guys you have to account for. It's not one of these teams where you say, hey, if we take out this player, then we're good because the other guys aren't going to beat us. You have to be really thoughtful about, well, what's the situation and who do we want to take out? Where do we want to commit our resources? So I think that's the biggest challenge that the Lions present.
So bad news for you, Shiel. As you predict them to lose, they keep winning.
1-9, Shiel.
There we go.
Yeah, which now I will say, we have asked Shiel, just like me, as the Eagles went on a winning
streak. Force Shiel, Spike.
What's
not
that?
Asked. Force.
Force Shiel.
Force.
Force Shiel. Well, for the good of Philadelphia, for the good of the Eagles. Last year, the Eagles went on a winning streak when I started picking against them. So we, after the two losses, decided to pick against them. They won, and we asked Shiel in solidarity to do so. So now when we catch Shiel's prediction, I want you to understand that he must pick the Lions. So Shiel, what is your prediction?
At this point, I'm almost like, all right, let them just lose a game at some point.
Yes.
So I can get back to making these picks, you know, and yep. Pick the Eagles a few of these weeks. But I actually, you know, I was looking at the schedule and I was going, what are the games they're most likely to lose the rest of the way? Because I don't think they're going to go 15-2. Maybe they will go 15-2. But I was looking at it and I was like, all right, at Buffalo later in the season. And after that game, this game popped up. You know, I think it's an offense that can be very good. And the Eagles' offense right now is in a bit of turmoil. So I will go ahead and pick the Lions. I'll be honest. I am picking the Lions regardless of our
okay. All right. Okay.
So this is a legit
that.
Pick.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I got the Lions 23-20 in this game.
Huh. Wow. Even with that offense that is so dynamic, you think the Eagles hold them to 23 points?
Well, I like this Eagles defense a lot. Yeah,
you do.
I like this.
Yeah.
Listen, there is a scenario where the Eagles pass rush just kind of puts Goff in a blender. He's not good in bad weather. And when he's pressured, mm-hmm. he turns into a pumpkin. Mm-hmm. So it could be that type of game for sure. That wouldn't shock me. But I do think they're going to come in saying, we can't let that happen. Let's get rid of the ball quickly. Let's run the ball. And I think it's going to be, a little bit more low scoring, methodical type game.
All right, Shiel, thank you as always, and congratulations on surviving ESPN last night.
All right, guys, talk to you next week.
All right, Shiel.
There he is, the great Shiel Kapadia. Well, he doesn't get any credit for picking against the Eagles this week because he was going to pick against them anyway.
Yeah, but he really meant this one.
He really means this one, which means the Eagles are going to lose. 215-592-9494. Derek and Paoli, you're on WIP. What's up, Derek?
What's going on, fellas?
What's up, Derek?
Eagles play the Lions this week?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Man, I had no idea, man. We talk about the same stuff every day. I thought they was on a bye again or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But listen, Ike.
Yes, sir.
You had Dallas Goedert and A.J. Brown going on Monday, man. I knew I was still going to win. I had Saquon going. That was crazy, wasn't it, though?
Yeah. Listen, I'm sitting there hoping like, no, maybe this is a game that A.J. breaks out in, and then I'll be able to win this game. Nope, true to form, I got no points.
I hate when it's like that because it's like you want the Eagles to win by all costs, right?
Yeah.
But it's like, Don't throw to AJ. Don't throw to Goddard. Like, just so I can brag a little bit on the radio.
You, know you got me. Yep, you got me.
Yeah.
You got me.
I got you next, Spike. You know what I mean? So we'll see what happens.
Well, you're going to beat me. My team's in shambles.
Yeah, he's defeated.
Oh,
he's giving up.
So my team's in shambles.
Why don't you have a backbone?
I do have a backbone. It's a lot of injuries. It just is what it is.
Listen, I'm going to make, can I make 2 points? Listen.
Yes.
So the thing I respect about the show, right, especially with you, Spike, is like you're calling it how you're seeing it because you're someone who's been very critical of Jalen Hurts, right? So the stance that you're on, that's how I know it's like right down the middle. So with A.J. Brown, right, he just does a lot of stuff to just, for me, it's like he's just a me guy. You understand what I'm saying? Like every time, like even that whole thing where he said using me, but not using me, right? I thought about that for a while. This is what I came up with. He had 4 catches in that game, right? And I think one of them was on 4th down, right? And then he had
the Minnesota game.
Yeah, the Minnesota game.
Yep.
He had the touchdown on 4th down. He had the game-sealing catch that kind of wrapped it up. So that was his way of saying, like, y'all only throw me the ball when you really, really need to. Like, using me, but not using me. And it's just like, come on, bro. Like, you're not gaining anything by standing at your locker every single week saying the same exact thing, right? Uh-huh. And it's like with Jalen Hurts, right? He comes like – Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni are kind of like a team now.
Thought we would have said that. Yo, yeah.
Last year, I used to get so mad listening to Spike when he – remember when Jalen Hurts did that comment?
Yeah.
They said, what is Nick Sirianni's role? And he said, you know, he does a great job of delivering a message and da-da-da-da. That was Nick Sirianni's way of telling Jalen Hurts, like, I need you to do this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, how can Jalen Hurts not believe in him when he's being successful doing it Nick Sirianni's way? You know what I'm saying? And it's like, he's just not going to be out here throwing the ball all across the field. And I think he might lack a certain level of confidence in A.J. Brown that he once had for whatever reason. And that's neither here nor there, but I just think...
I think that's true, though, D.
I don't know. So everybody's, like, calling in, like Jalen Hurts, he doesn't get up there and say, like Spike said, he doesn't get up there and say, well, like, even though that's thrown to Smitty, right? If you watch the tape, even though the play was called to Smitty, A.J. Brown was looking at the route that Smitty was running as if he knew for a fact, like, he has no chance of getting the ball. So I just feel like he got to just focus on him and bring some, like, I got to work harder, and I got to just be prepared, my number's called. And people would treat him a whole lot better, but the way that he's going about it is just, like, it's just sad to watch, man, because he's a great player, man, and he's letting a lot of people down right now, I think. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just my take, though, you know.
I think there are a lot of people frustrated or disappointed that this is where it's at.
Well, thank you for the call, Derek. He's going to ruin his legacy here.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what it is. He's going to get traded this offseason. There's no doubt in my mind he's going to get traded. And maybe in 10 or 15 years we'll look back, and mm-hmm. we all know he's a great player. We'll remember the Super Bowl, all those sorts of things. But, like, when you force your way out of a team in Philadelphia, a winning team in Philadelphia, it doesn't sit well.
It doesn't end well. And how, you know, he said a lot in those 8 minutes. The thanks for the ring.
Oh, yeah.
Thing that so nonchalantly with the championship ring.
Do you
Super
have
Bowl
that?
Ring?
Here's what he said.
Last year, what it was, thank you for the ring, but it's a new season. They adapted. We have to adapt, and we have to continue to, like, get better and try to find new ways. So that's where the frustration comes in, because it's not about winning, you guys. Like, I want to win, yes. I want to help contribute as well, do our thing on offense as well. I think that's fair.
He reminds me of Jimmy Butler a little, in that Jimmy Butler is a great player who has you know, his time has run out in every place he's played, because I always believe that Jimmy wants to win, but Jimmy wants to be at the center of the winning all the time.
Yeah.
And the winning doesn't matter quite as much if Jimmy's not the center of the winning.
Yeah.
And that is, if he
That's kind of where AJ is at.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, with the weapons that they have on offense, somebody's not going to get the ball. So if it was AJ getting all the targets and Devontae was complaining, we'd be upset at Devontae.
Oh, sure, for sure. Yeah.
So it's... Yeah, there isn't going to be an equal share amount every week. Some matchups are going to feature the other guy, some won't. The thing I keep scratching my head about with all of this.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
What is it that ultimately AJ want them to do about this? He's talked to his coaches. He's voiced this every week. Nothing is changing. I haven't seen where they decided, you know what, we're going to get AJ the ball the first 10 plays of the game. Let's make sure he get his catches early in this game.
They should do that and then play the rest of the game after. Just sit him the rest of the game.
Like, they aren't doing that, and unless you believe Jalen is just deliberately not throwing him the ball, I don't understand the point of publicly saying this, because what's changing? They clearly are winning, and they're going to do it the way that they're doing it, and they don't have a problem with it. So it's not like the coaches are rushing to change up the game plan so we can keep AJ happy, and Jalen, as he shouldn't, isn't going to force the football to AJ.
Well, and I'm sure, I think Derek brought this up, I'm sure if you're Jalen and you want to have trust that the guy is going to do what you need him to do, mm-hmm. there has to be a little less trust in he's going to go all out for me when he does
it's
this.
There's certainly some of that there.
It just has to be. Even in the back of his head, yeah. It has to be there.
Yeah.
So Jack told me, there, apparently today, at Vic Fangio's press availability, there was a moment from Elliott Shore Parks that he big-timed somebody.
He did.
He big-timed
another beat reporter.
Oh.
And people down there are suggesting that Eagles Insider of the Year has gotten in his head or gone to his head.
Huh.
Do you want to hear it?
Oh, of course.
I haven't heard it either. Okay.
Corey, you had mentioned as a coach.
Ooh, he kind of put you in your place there.
As a coach, how do you go about balancing what's best?
That's really it.
Did you hear him go, hold on a sec, with the other guys talking? Could you play it again?
I heard him.
As a coach.
Ooh, he kind of put you in your place there.
Fangio, look at Vic, man. Yeah. Stirring the pot.
He goes, ooh.
We kind of put you in your place there.
Oh, man.
Who was he talking to?
I got to figure out who the other reporter is. Yeah.
Can you play it again? See if I can. Is that John McMullen?
It sounds a little McMullen-y.
Yeah.
McMullen-y.
Hold on. Because definitely an older beat reporter.
Yes.
Elliot's picking on the elderly.
He's not doing that to Kempski or Zach.
It screams either McMullen, Martin Frank.
Okay.
Like one of those guys. Yeah, I think that's a McMullen.
Was that sassy Vic?
Ooh.
Hey.
They got a taste of sassy Elliot down there.
Yep.
How about Coach Fangio, man?
He
put you in your place.
As a coach.
And the nervous laugh, and he just keeps on going.
It's steamrolled right through.
That's my insider.
That's me, man. Wow.
Today's show is sponsored by Klondike Kate's Christmas Sleigh Bar. Check out the pop-up Christmas Sleigh Bar. I'm going to get this right by the end of the show. At Klondike Kate's from now through December.
So Elliot did also just tweet out that Michael Kendrick is officially the captain. Or on Sunday, really? The honorary guy coming back. What I do find funny about that is that Michael Kendrick's arguably worst game as an Eagle was against the Lions.
Which one?
On Thanksgiving. Remember that?
Oh, the Chip Kelly when they went out there and got blew out.
But Theo Riddick went for like 200 against them.
Yes, Theo Riddick. How can we ever forget that name?
Dude, I think it's very rare I've watched the Eagles get blown out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That game. Remember the Cardinals game that David Johnson went for?
I think that was back-to-back blowouts.
It was a really tough stretch.
Yeah, I think the week before they were blown out as well.
Jason on Twitter says he thinks Elliot is saying, hold on, Rube.
Oh, Rube.
That didn't sound like Rube.
That's not Rube. Rube right
That's
there.
McMullen.
Yeah.
That's a McMullen piece if I know one. Yeah.
215-592-9494.
Rube ain't backing down.
No.
Confirmed from Elliot. It was McMullen.
There we go. I nailed it.
Should we get can someone do a Photoshop of Iverson stepping over Tyronn Lue? It's Elliot's face and John McMullen's face.
You'll have it in 5 minutes.
Yes.
As a coach.
He kind of put you in your place there.
All right.
That was classic.
A lot of 215-592-9494. A lot of Philly stuff has popped up in the last couple of days. We will have basically an emergency High Hopes Jackie Baseball report next as well. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fred.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders, Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
You say I'm not welcome here. I know it ought to be perfectly clear. But I can't help but wonder what it might be.
Sing if you know it, Spike.
If I had 2 dozen roses.
Okay. No. I was giving it a chance.
If I really could have hung the moon, would it change your mind?
It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fred. The 330 country, I don't know.
The fans are chanting it.
I don't know if this bit can stand. I don't know if it can stand.
That was better than the one he gave.
It's better than yesterday.
Yeah.
It was better than
yesterday.
Than that one. Yeah. Today's show is sponsored by Klondike Kate's Christmas Sleigh Bar. Enjoy Bud Light, Michelob Ultra specials all football season at Klondike Kate's. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers with locations in Montgomeryville and Mount Laurel. There's a Mark's Jewelers Minutes from Everywhere online at marks-jewelers.com. After hearing AJ yesterday, are you now on his side? 55% say yes. A shocking turn of events.
Insanity.
Yeah. How many times did you vote, Jack?
Not on AJ's side.
Okay.
On AJ's side. Right. I mean, he makes a lot of sense.
All right.
But he's not on his side.
A lot of Phil stuff going on. Let's get to it, Fritz.
It's time for the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report.
Joining me right now is Jackie Baseball, Fritz.
Yes, Jackie Baseball.
I don't even know how to talk about all the Philly stuff going on right now.
There's a lot.
Now, let's get the award stuff out of the way. Congratulations, Chris Sanchez. Second in Cy Young voting. That came out last night to Paul Skenes, even though he had a higher pitching war than Paul Skenes, but regardless, and pitched in bigger games than Paul Skenes. But who's
keeping track? You gotta start weighing that, though, man.
Well, I know, and that's speaking from the heart for you. This is your third straight year. Betting on the guy who came in second for the NL Cy Young.
Yeah.
And what
a unanimous number two, which I think is cool that he got all the second place votes. I think we all knew Skenes was going to get number one. Skenes is the best pitcher in the National League. I do think there was a good argument for Sanchez winning Cy Young, but I like that it was unanimous number two.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And it's just the rise for Chris Sanchez. I mean, first off, he had a bunch of expectations heading into the year, and he met him. When Wheeler went down, he raised in the moment. He was great in the postseason. This is a guy in 21 and 22 that was a cast-off, you know?
How many years on that contract?
I think four more.
At $9 million or something like that?
$8-9 million.
Something tells me that number changes before it's over.
Yeah, probably.
Well, not before it's over. They'll give him an extension. They're not going to change
the
contract.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, they'll give him an extension.
Yeah,
They'll take care of Chris Sanchez. Yeah. But that is it helps them so much. If they're paying Chris Sanchez his worth, they won't be able to afford anyone this offseason.
Yeah, well, Skenes is going to get, Scooble is going to get $50 million a year, right? Something like 45.
$50 million?
40, I mean.
Well, the Tigers' first offer was 4 years, $80
million. 4 years, $80
million?
Well, Wheeler's making 40 plus, right?
See how that's working out.
Yeah. Oh, he's fine.
Yeah.
He's fine.
We hope.
He's going to be fine.
Fingers crossed. Yeah.
Bad accident.
Yeah.
37?
Yeah, well, listen. He's crazy. He's still got some Cy Young votes. Also, I want to point out Nick Pivetta, 6th in the Cy Young
All
vote.
All right, okay.
Bend the knee.
Yeah, this is Phillies, not former Phillies.
Just making sure everyone's aware.
Okay.
All right, so the other thing that happened the other day is Harrison Bader, speaking of cryptic posts, really wasn't that cryptic, but he put out a post basically thanking Philadelphia. He said, Philly baby, 2.5 months was not nearly enough, but that's all the gods had in store for us this year. To the ones who made it happen, thank you. To every Screaming Fan, I love you and thank you. To a clubhouse I'm humbled to be a part of, especially thank you. The game is a gift, but you, Philly, you are a bleeping gift.
There you go.
That's my center fielder. Devin Caney came out, said that, was told Harrison Bader's latest post does not mean anything regarding his future with the Phillies, does not mean he's not returning in the slightest. It was simply a thank you post.
Well, I know he's new to being here. We don't need a thank you post when you're a free agent because we're going to jump to conclusions.
Well, I think
that thank you post made it seem like he was gone.
Well, I think what's going through his head is if he signs with a new team, his post is probably going to be about the new team, and then maybe he doesn't have a chance to do the Philly post.
Why not?
Well, because if he signs with the Tigers or something, he's going to say, wow, humbled to be part of the Tigers. So the wording in there that I liked was we only had 2.5 months this year. He didn't say we only had 2.5 months.
So yeah.
That's what I'm hoping. We did jump to the conclusion.
Yeah.
We need Bader back.
I totally agree with you. I think that's why everybody was up in arms.
More than Schwarber.
Relax. Dombrowski talked yesterday, too, about Bader.
Yeah.
And he said they know we have interest. They know that we'd like to bring him back. They also had expressed that they wanted to see what's out there because this was the best year he's had, I think, in quite a while.
Okay.
So
that's fair.
That makes sense.
Yep.
The Bader thing I find interesting from a couple angles. Like, I want Harrison Bader back, too. I thought it was interesting that Dave Dombrowski said that they viewed Justin Crawford as a center fielder.
Negotiating tactic.
Probably a negotiating tactic. And then the big one, and I was going to get to this later, but regardless, is that it seems like Byron Buxton might waive his no-trade clause.
Oh, I thought he wanted to be a Twin forever.
Well, then he saw he saw everyone was gone, and he's like, all right, maybe. Maybe I'll see if I want to go somewhere else. That could throw a wrinkle in this thing as well, the ability to go out and get Byron Buxton.
Mm. I would say so as well.
Yeah.
Are you back in on Buxton, or are you still worried about Buxton?
No, Buxton's hurt all the time. Yeah. I would love to have Buxton as a Philly. I would be happy if they trade for him. I want guys that are going to play games, and Buxton is hurt so much. You look through his career, it's literally every year of his career, he misses a significant number of games. And he did last year, too. And, like, he's a good player, but that happens at the wrong time. Byron Buxton gets hurt in game 160 or 160 or 158 or something, and then you go into the playoffs without your best outfielder. He's just hurt too much for me.
Yeah, so it's not Trout level. I don't think Trout is done, probably. Yeah. He still put 35 home runs last year and had a 551 slugging percentage. And does
a great player.
A gold glove center field. And it's one of those things where, and by the way, he's probably AAV-wise somehow going to make less than Harrison Bader next year. You know, because AAV-wise, he signed a 7-year, $100 million contract a couple years ago. Things have changed.
Yeah.
So contract-wise, I hear you on the injuries. But man, for a team that kind of needs some kind of big swing, I would rather take a swing on that, giving up prospects, rather than signing another old guy to a lot of years. Now he's 32.
So sign Cody Bellinger.
you're a boy Bellinger.
Wow.
But this would solve center field.
But sign Bader and Bellinger.
Okay.
Both outfield spots and then trade Marsh for something and put Crawford in left field.
Yeah. There's a lot of angles they can go.
Okay.
Yeah. But the Buxton thing could throw a wrinkle in the idea of bringing Bader back.
Sure.
So, but obviously, in a perfect world, I would like Bader back. Now, the Bryce Harper saga.
Mm.
This also was addressed. Dave Dombrowski finally talked to him.
There you go.
What a novel concept.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe after the comment, should have called him immediately rather than waiting for Bryce
to
also
respond. Yeah.
Respond.
Because there was a week in between that.
A full week.
Yeah.
And an appearance on foul territory where he could have easily just made a phone call. But regardless, he did not. However, he has now. He said, I've spoken to him. We had a nice conversation, and everything went well. He continued on. We had a good conversation, talked for quite a while, and really conversations between Bryce and myself are between us. So they talked. Now, as we continue on this, Scott Boras also talked yesterday.
And this was at the GM meetings?
The GM meetings currently happening.
Okay.
So a lot of the people are out there. Scott Boras holding court.
Oh, yeah.
Being very annoying.
Oh, he is on one right now.
He is.
Now.
You know, what he, Ranger's nickname was?
What?
Called him a Lone Ranger.
There you go. Did you see what he said about Pete Alonso? Everything started with a P. The whole speech was like, Peter Piper picked a bacon.
Who's that for?
I have no idea.
Who's that
He
for?
Did the same thing with Bregman.
Yeah. Yeah. He said the Red Sox don't want to see a Brexit.
Is what he said.
Brexit.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Not bad.
But he said the reason Bryce didn't take an opt-out, that contract, was because he did not want this. He wanted all the players to know, I'm in Philadelphia. The rest of my career, come play with me. I'm going to be here. I'm going to finish it. Dave and John have nothing but intentions to have Bryce finish his career in Philadelphia.
All right. There we go. Done. So they can all stop arguing in public about whether he needs protection or not.
Right. Right. Dabrowski also indicated that he talked to Castellanos, and they're both open-minded about finding a different place for him to play next year.
Great.
Going to be done. Yeah. What's interesting about that, seems like the Pirates, Royals, and Marlins are going to spend money this year, which means, I know Castellanos is a salary dump, but at least they're not, they might be able to take on some money.
Don't have to pay for all of it.
Maybe pay $10 million of it. And you get some reliever back, but that seems like it's over. And then also pretty much made way for Justin Crawford to be on the big league club. He said, in my mind, Crawford is a real chance to be with our club. We're going to give him that opportunity to be with the club.
Yeah.
So Justin Crawford will be in the opening day lineup.
Unless they fill the outfield with players we don't expect them to fill the outfield with.
Yeah.
Is that it, Fritzy?
That's it.
All right. 215-592-9494. Now, we are looking to fill the outfield. You are looking to replace your windows. Same thing, right? No. Well, Dave Nebraska is not going to get 50% off of anything, but when you call Guida right now or go to gogeida.com, going on right now to replace your old drafty windows, maybe a couple of doors, whatever you need in your house, the buy one, get one half off sale on all qualifying windows and doors. It is so simple, my friend. For every door or window you buy, you get a second one at 50% off. Everyone's needs are different, so you can mix and match based on what you need. Doesn't have to be window to window or door to door. It could be door to window, window to door, whatever you need. The more you get, the more you save. You replace everything in your home, every window and door, half of them, going to be 50% off. And you can start your project with no money down and interest-free financing for up to 18 months. This is a limited time. There are some restrictions. You need all the details to get them. You call 877-GO-GUIDA or go to and get your free no obligation in-home estimate or go to goguida.com. That's goguida.com. 215-592-9494. Patrick in Westchester. You're on WIP. What's up, Patrick?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, Pat?
What's up, Pat?
Been listening for a while. Spent a lot of time in my car for work. So listen to you guys quite a bit. So the thing in front of you guys brought up something a few minutes ago, the word legacy, when it came to A.J. Brown. I obviously want to hit on A.J. Brown still.
Sure.
And the interesting thing with that is when you think about the legacy of a quarterback, I feel like that gets tied to championships, right? How many Super Bowls do you have? How many MVPs do you have? But if you think about, in the modern era, I would say I'm 40 years old. So guys, from the last mid-90s to current players, when you think of the best wide receivers from a legacy perspective, how many of those guys have championships? Like, how many of them have Super Bowls as part of how we're defining their legacy, right? And so, like, when you think about AJ and his frustration, I'm on his side to the degree of him protecting his legacy and also a little bit frustrated with the Eagles' ownership and Howie for paying him for the behavior that he's already shown us he's going to have when these types of situations occur, right? How do you, as a parent, you don't reward bad behavior. What was the issue? What were we talking about with A.J. Brown in the 2023 season when things all fell apart, right?
Yep.
This same kind of stuff was occurring, almost identical types of issues. He's calling in the radio, Brandon Graham's had to do all this stuff's going on. And what did the Eagles do after that season?
They extended his contract.
They made him the highest paid wide receiver in the NFL. Not the second highest, not the third, not the fourth, not the tenth. They rewarded his behavior on and off the field by making him the highest paid wide receiver. So they won a Super Bowl, but that's not a legacy filler for a wide receiver. That's a legacy filler for a coach, for a quarterback. Not necessarily for a wide receiver. Wide receivers are known for their stats. So when you got a guy who was the highest paid wide receiver in the NFL, and then the next 2 years he went from having the best running back season ever on top of his name, and they win the Super Bowl. So he kind of let things go a little bit. He wasn't quite level last. It was harder. It was harder for him to speak up. He did speak up, but that's what I mean. They rewarded him. There was no expectation that AJ Brown was going to just change his behavior.
So Patrick, I agree with you in the sense that I said yesterday that if you're mad about this, this is an Eagles issue more than an AJ issue, in that I expected this out of AJ. I think if you're I said that in respect to not trading him at the deadline or even trading him in the offseason, you know, after what we saw last year. I think if you wanted to give the Eagles the benefit of the doubt, 23 was an incredibly ugly season for everyone. And if they want to look and see AJ and say he wasn't the best that year, well, he wasn't the only one. And to be unhappy in a season like that, if I'm the Eagles and I'm talking myself into signing AJ Brown, I'm saying this is likely the most talented receiver we've ever had, maybe second to T.O. And he was part of a bad season. Again, if I'm being friendly to the Eagles, which I think is fair.
Second to Harold Carmichael.
Second to Harold Carmichael, right. Yeah. You have to say that. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Not that you're wrong, but that you always said. Right. Yes. So what I would say is that, like, I hear you. I could get with them paying him after the 23 season. And I agree with you on legacy. But my bigger question on all of it is what does this do, right? Like, what does this do after every game? This does not get you the ball more. It doesn't change your legacy. It does none of those things. The only effective thing he could do is go to the Eagles this offseason and say, I want to be traded. I'm not going to play for you guys this year. That I would understand if that is what is important to him. Mm-hmm. The issue we're talking about now is we're in the middle of a season. We're past the trade deadline. We are, and you're doing this even when you do get the ball, to be quite honest. So I agree with some of your points, but I still can't get with, even if I agree with all those things, and even if I agree with AJ that I would be frustrated as well in this situation, I still can't get with a guy who never takes the onus of the situation and puts it on himself. Not one second in 8 minutes yesterday, and realizes that all these teammates that you care about, which he seems to, and all these teammates who like and respect you, you're putting them all in a worse situation right now. And they can say, Jason Kelce can say this morning, that it doesn't have that quite same effect. I'm sorry, it just does. They're all, it's there. It's just there, and it's only going to grow more and more and more. It might not, I'm not saying that in the locker room they're all infighting and not talking to each other, but if you don't think it's in their head at some point, when the only thing that should be in their head is getting better every week and winning the Super Bowl. So I think all the things you said have some truth to them, but I still don't think it adds up to this, if that makes sense.
Yeah, can I make one more point though? So the thing, I guess, think what goes into it for the people that are in support of AJ is, just like we know who Jalen Hurts is, the way he talks and communicates with reporters, and it's boring, he doesn't give us any information, and you can get frustrated with that, but it is who he is, right? I think at this point in his career, people expected that AJ Brown, this is what you're going to get from him. So like the level of expectation, just like if you have a really bad kid, like they do some things that you like, but they're bad overall, or they do some things that you don't like. Your expectations are different. And so I think people give him a little bit of a pass overall, because like this is who he's been. And so we're not expecting him to change. But last thing I just wanted you guys to consider about the last game and the crazy play on fourth down.
Sure.
Now this might be a little bit, I don't even know if I want to give the Eagles this much credit. But if you looked at that play, people broke it down and were like, man, is something wrong with AJ? Why didn't he make an effort to get to the ball, right? And so in my mind, I'm looking at it, I've watched it a bunch of times. I'm like, man, what if the Eagles were making that throw and it was like, hey, if there's a breakdown and he's wide open, obviously he catches it, the game's sealed. But the flip side of it is, if the defender catches the ball there, was he at the 2-3 yard line?
Yes, yes. The defender shouldn't even catch the ball. The defender should knock down the ball at that point.
No, the defender shouldn't catch the ball.
Yes, that's what I said.
But if they do catch the ball, it's essentially a punt back to the inside 5 yard line. So like I don't necessarily want to give Jalen Hurts the coaches credit for that. But I was thinking, but maybe that was part of the calculus. It was like, hey, we either get this play, we make this catch, or they intercept it and they're down at the inside the 5 yard line, and it's essentially as if we punted it. So just leave with that.
Thank you for the call, Patrick.
It sounds an awful lot like what happened in Seattle a few years ago when the explanation there was we were trying to draw a pass interference.
Right, and that's not actually.
That's one of those convenient explanations after the fact that you had a couple days to think about it. Well, maybe he was trying to do this, and if he didn't catch it, No. First of all, AJ wants to catch every ball thrown to him. You think he didn't want the touchdown right there?
Of course he did.
He was mad that the throw wasn't where he wanted the ball to be.
On the sideline
side. On the outside,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yes. 215-592-9494. Oh, no. Coming up next, I say oh, no. I don't really mean it. Mike Mayock joins us. Now, hopefully,
showtime.
Hopefully, we'll be able to ask Mike about the AJ situation and from his GM perspective. Hopefully, we'll be able to ask Mike about his perspective on the Jair Alexander thing. Because one thing I'd like to ask Mike about is before you trade for someone, are you able to have a conversation with them
about the health and everything?
And not even the physical, but like the mental.
Oh, the mental part.
Yeah, like where are you? Yeah. Because I would imagine some of it is a roll of the dice in that way. So we'll talk to Mike about that.
Should I let him know that you are in day five of fasting?
No, I'm doing fine today.
Okay.
I think I'm pretty locked in.
No, you're pretty locked in.
Okay. All right. Hey. Mike Mayock joins us next. 215-592-9494. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
ARC Raiders. A multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back to school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Old school security kicks in after the break-in. Too late. SimpliSafe rewinds the story, stopping crime before it starts. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to detect intruders, alert live monitoring agents, and can deter intruders before they reach your door. It's proactive protection, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee and no contracts. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Other sportsbooks just don't hit right. But FanCash makes switching to Fanatics easy. Only Fanatics gives you up to 10% FanCash back on all bets, win or lose, which you can use to unlock the world of Fanatics. From more bets and game tickets to signed memorabilia and one-of-a-kind experiences only Fanatics can offer. Switch to Fanatics Sportsbook and let the fan cash roll in. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. MD, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.